or CEF mobile.
KF4NXY.
How are you doing this morning?
I'm pretty good. This is David back to you. Just sitting here drinking some coffee and watching the morning weather report.
Started on my coffee on the way to work. I guess I'm going to have to stop and get out and get some of this liquid gold for the truck this morning.
We had to get $40-something dollars worth of that stuff yesterday. The car was running on empty and just wasn't going to go much further without it.
That 40 don't get you as much as it used to, but it is what it is. All right, well, I'm going to step off for a second. I'm going to jump out and pump some of the diesel fuel in. So I'm going to say 7-3 for now. KO4CEF, and I'll be clear.
You have a good day. I'll catch you a little later. KF4NXY.
XYK4OW. Yes, Richard. What's your, what price you seeing on gasoline this morning?
I didn't understand you. Say again, please.
I was wondering what prices you're seeing on gasoline this morning.
Yeah, yesterday there's a little station between over near Pelzer. We tried to get it at. She's a little more reasonable. Got it for $3.09.
All right. How's that? You're about just getting ready to turn in, I guess, for the day. And I didn't know where the prices were right now.
Yeah, it's been going up and down a lot. They've gotten down to, and we got some at Sam's the other day, I think, for $2.80-something, but now they've done most, a lot of places back up to about $3.19.
Can't remember what the name of the station. They're new. About $3.29.9. Sam's. And, I look good RX. I get sort of a spread on it. Right close to me. And well, not doing anything.
Well, I'm gonna get back to my cup of coffee and get woke up. You have a good morning. I'll talk to you a little later. KF4NXY.
I'm sorry.
W2JKT Mobile.
TFW Mobile. CEF Mobile.
Happy Monday, KN4TFW.
W2JKT, how are you doing this Monday morning?
Yep, doing pretty well. I think I heard Eric in there.
JKT, good morning, guys.
KO4CEF.
Good morning, Eric.
How are you this morning?
I've got fuel, spent $40 and got 9 gallons.
Not in that.
Right now, I'm getting myself a biscuit this morning.
Yeah.
Last night, I'm kind of hungry this morning.
Part of breakfast.
Get down to a cidery up today around 4 o'clock in an apple orchard and had some cider flights and some donuts, but not much of a dinner after that.
Hill, man, they got a good breakfast, but man, people line up for it, I know that much. I think it's up off of Highway 11. It might be in Fingerville, if I remember correctly, but it's in that area.
Over in York, and yeah, it's just a cute little apple orchard, and they make their own hard ciders. We had a flight of six different flavors. They were really good. We'll probably go back sometime.
That's a good apple cider. Hey, Biltmore's got some stuff that you add to it, some wassail. Man, that stuff's so good. My wife went out to celebrate her last weekend.
Had Mexican Saturday night.
Can do list together for you for this weekend?
Not list together, Annette, to do stuff around the house that she's been wanting to do and, you know, just too tired, wanting to be working full time. And she thought she was going to, you know, she told them she would work a few days during the week, but they didn't put her on the schedule, so she's off all week.
I need this weekend, that's for sure.
Grass mowed, and I never got around to it.
We put some decorations out by the flagpole for fall, and then planted a little bit of lettuce to see if I could get it to grow.
To the Netherlands next weekend, and then this weekend I gotta close the pool, and then while she's gone I need to build her some new cabinets for her kitchen, because she doesn't have enough cabinet space in there, so that'll be a fun project.
Fun project. Closing the pool, I usually recruit the whole family for that one. I'll get all the chemicals in, but those covers are a pain in the butt, and I guess I gotta order a new one for this year.
Yet, because the previous owners of this house, I guess they threw it away because it was all torn up or something, but they didn't leave me one, so I need to head to the pool place this weekend and get one. They've got one for me over there. I just need to go pick it up. It's a few hundred bucks, but yeah, laying the things out is not going to be fun by myself.
Hey, Brown, I've never had the cover last more than a year, and I always got to replace it every year.
An in-ground, 20 by 40, so it's a pretty big cover, and I think the thing, he said the thing weighed like 85 pounds, and so, yeah, I'm not looking forward to it.
4, HKX. Good morning, gentlemen.
Go 4, see you.
Good morning, Patrick. KM4, GFW.
2, JKT.
How do you enjoy that beautiful weekend?
Nice.
All weekend. Checking video cameras and looking at the Lakewood feed to see if there was any news on our camper in storage.
Anything?
See, all the campers in storage were good. No external damage is seen, and the water didn't get up that far. But, man, if you watch some videos of people down there, there's water all up to the top of the tires on some of these campers. And people down there staying in them. What the freak is wrong with them? Some of the damage in Florida, it's just unreal.
Tires area and the island off there, offshore, where they destroyed the causeway, from what I've heard, there's people stranded out there still.
Got a long cleanup ahead of
them. Courtney going to the Netherlands for?
Irons for work over there, finance thing. Company that makes the Jaws of Life. And, you know, she's a finance manager there, so they're having a big finance conference over in the Netherlands. I guess the company is global. The Jaws of Life part is here in Shelby, North Carolina, but they have, you know, global everywhere. So they're having a big finance conference over there.
Looking forward to that, or is she kind of dreading it?
It's going to be a whole lot of work. I mean, you know, accountants, you know, never sleep. But, yeah, no, she's looking forward to it. She's never been to the Netherlands before. I tried to hook it up before I could go with her, but I got to stay home and take care of the pets. And, you know, I've got my 4 dogs, and she's got 2 dogs and a cat. So we don't really have anybody we trust to take care of them. So I just decided to stay home and take care of the home for it.
Friends.
We had 7 for a while. She had a 13-year-old boxer. He passed away about a month ago, maybe a month and a half. And so now we're down to 6. And then one of my dogs has chronic liver disease. And he was in the vet last week, and his liver numbers are starting to get real bad. So he probably only has another 4 to 6 weeks, the vet said, before it'll be time for him. So then it'll be 5. And then we'll probably look for another one to rescue.
Yeah. Lost one there and getting ready to lose another one. But 13 years for a boxer is a long time.
He was definitely on borrowed time for, about the last year or so. But he was happy up until the end. You know, he didn't get really sick or anything. He just kind of laid down in the living room and went to sleep. And that was the end of it for him. You know, he seemed perfectly fine and happy and normal all day. And then, he just kind of laid down and let out a chuff. And that was it for him. So, you know, he was happy. He was surrounded by us at the end. And, couldn't have asked for a better way for him to depart this world, you know.
Good this weekend?
Some little small projects around the house. Met with the financial planner Friday, so I can start getting that ball rolling. But other than that, nothing too interesting.
Any antenna work? Have a hole this weekend. I started doing some satellite work. That was interesting. Not really set up for it either.
Get together and do some satellite work.
Guys with some questions, but for the most part, I've kind of done it before, and I was kind of figuring some stuff out, but this was using the home antenna, so it's, like I said, not really set up for it at all, but I did download a SSTV image. Kind of neat. I just don't know all the satellites and stuff, so was my rig not really made for it. I had a few other technical issues. So I put everything back, like change it back over and do some FT4 and stuff, but it was fun to try it out.
I had to do some satellite before. I do have a satellite capable radio. I've got an old Kenwood 790 somewhere, and back when I lived in Seneca, I used to try it from time to time, and I could get stuff, but I didn't have the movable antennas outside, and I think satellite work, nowadays people just do it with a handheld and like a handheld Yagi or something.
For both, I don't really have the handheld portion of it, but I was doing this from the house on the vertical antenna, and once it goes so high you can't hear it, it was kind of hit or miss if I could hear anything, so I may invest in some egg beater antennas, but then I got to do another run of coax and get a couple duplexers, and I just don't know. So, but I definitely think I'm going to pull the trigger on the 9700 if I can get my hands on one.
Radio, but good luck finding one.
PX Engineering, they're out of stock, but they swear that they've got a shipment coming soon in October, so I don't know. I may go ahead and order one that route and see how long it'll take to get it.
Project for when Courtney's in the Netherlands will be to finally install an HF antenna at the new house. I still have no capabilities at home, but hopefully, if I got some time while she's gone, I can. I want to get one of those Hustler 6-speed TV verticals. I don't really have. I've thought about the 6 ways to try to put up a dipole. I just don't think I have the right layout for that, so I might just go with a vertical out in the back somewhere.
Just fine. You might not be able to do as much local, like 80-meter NVIS stuff, like if you wanted to check into the South Carolina single sideband net, but then again, it might still work, so it definitely be worth trying. I looked into one before I put up my current antenna. 04 works good. Interesting setup with his verticals.
Epic, but I also thought about, I have a buddy pole deluxe kit, and I thought about ordering the 80-meter coils for that to see if it would be any good at NVIS, because I still have some people down in Seneca I like to talk to, but I can't quite make it on 2 meters, and I thought about maybe trying to do some 80-meter NVIS with a buddy pole, see if that would work.
Can't mean you talked on 80 meters on your vertical?
Well, I don't know if that's ground wave or NVIS at that point, depending on the distance, but it'd be worth trying.
So a 75-meter is horizontal.
That octopus, that spider pole or whatever it's called.
And 4 TFW.
Do something with 6 meters, but I have a 6-meter beam that I had at the old house. I definitely don't have any place to put that up at the new house. But, you know, I could probably do something a little smaller. Yeah, because 6 meters is a lot of fun when it's open. Lately, you know, we are climbing the sunspot cycle, so hopefully, you know, in the summertime, you know, it'll probably close down a little bit in the winter, but, you know, the summertime, hopefully it'll be nice and open next year.
You notice those bands that are supposedly open and closed, like 10 and 6, are always open during a contest.
And if you have enough power.
The meter is, it's a vertical, but it kind of leans over at about 60 degrees.
Put it that way.
I doubled, go ahead.
Contesters are running, you know, probably not within the confines of legal limit power, if you know what I mean.
My 6 meter is just a hamstick, but it's leaned over about at 60 degrees.
Element 6 meter beam, and I've also got a couple of vertical antennas that'll do 6 meters, you know, just for FM. But yeah, I can't tell you how many times I've you know, tried to work a contest station that's coming in, you know, 40 over S9. And I've got a 1,200 watt amplifier, and they can't hear me. So, you know, I have to wonder how much power they're running. You know, if they can't hear me at all, you know, even when there's not a pileup, and you know, they're coming in at 20 or 40 over on my side.
Better mouth than they have ears.
Could be. All right, gentlemen, I'm gonna say 7-3. So y'all have a good one. Be safe out there this morning. KO4CEF, and I'll be clear on your finals.
Have a great day. This is W2JKT.
7-3, have a good one, Andrew. KN4TFW.
KW Mobile.
You're out early.
Ken?
Yeah, roger that. Yeah, surely you're not going to fly in the dark.
I just dropped her off at the airport. She's going to Boise, Idaho. Be there till Thursday. So now I'm on my way back to the house and heard you guys.
W2JKT.
How's it going?
Zooming down 85 headed to work this morning. I heard you dropped your XYL off at the airport. That's, well, it's got to be fun to get up super early in the morning for that.
Set at 4 o'clock. It takes her a lot longer to get ready than just me. But we've been up since 4 and just dropped her off. And now I'll be batching it till Thursday. Thursday evening, I guess, is when she gets back in. I guess I'll find out. Maybe, no, it's Friday morning when she gets in. She's taking a red-eye back. Anyway, you sound unusually clear in there, Eric. Where are you on 85 now?
On exit 66, US 29. So, yeah, getting in pretty good shape for the repeater here. But, yeah, Sunday I got to get up there early, probably 3 a.m., and take my YL to the airport up in Charlotte. She's flying out to the Netherlands for a finance conference next week, and she'll be gone for about a week and a half. So that'll be an early trip out in the morning, too. I definitely don't enjoy those, you know, 3 a.m. trips to the airport, but, you know, for the cheap flights, you got to do it.
The flight between Greenville and Charlotte.
Now, so Charlotte's the closer airport.
Oh, I didn't think about that. That's right. I did not think about that. I'm used to you living in Clemson.
Yeah, too. I'm trying to get used to living in Shelby, but it's only been about a month now, a month and a half, so I'll get used to it eventually.
Well, it sounds like the repeater's doing good, or you're just in a really good spot compared to, I guess when you're in Shelby, it's not quite as good. You're probably getting close to the end of the umbrella, and as you get closer in, it gets better and better. And by that time, I'm usually up and moving. I'm not drinking my cup of coffee at my desk anymore.
You're pretty solid when I get off 85 there at exit 96. It disappears really quickly once I get into those little rolling hills. But, yeah, once I get down into the construction zone and headed south, it picks up pretty well. But, yeah, we'll turn around and let us go through the group here. This is W2JKT.
YKN4 GFW 75 exit northbound.
Clear.
But he might be in a black hole right now.
It's on the South Carolina side of the state line, right?
Shipping notice on your equipment yet? Stuff for from Eastern Europe for your TDOA project there?
I did, and it came in, and I was finishing up other stuff, but I did assemble it. I did pull two Raspberry Pis out of the racks that I used during COVID protein folding days, and I put the Pi hat that came with them on it, and I put them on it, and I ordered some special antenna connecting wires that you have to have an SMA antenna and connector, F.UL versus U.UL or something like that. I can't remember what it was. Anyway, they came in too. So now I have all my stuff that I can start tearing down their version 3 library and build a version 4 library.
Good deal. Yeah, I know you were you've been itching to get this thing underway here. So yeah, TDOA is some fun stuff. Have you ever seen the lightningmaps.org? They've got a global network of these LF receivers that detect lightning strikes, and they use TDOA to get the positions of all the lightning strikes.
I've seen that when I went through all the documentation I was going through to try to figure it out. But there was something that made it to where it didn't apply to what I was doing. I can't remember what that was. But if I can get this working, I figure I make a Ardu pilot land vehicle that's controlled by an Ardu pilot. Same thing you use in an airplane when you're flying autonomously in an airplane. And use the TDOA system to have my own private satellite system, GPS satellite system, in my yard, and be accurate within a couple of inches, cutting grass all throughout the yard. Kind of like a CNC machine that is the size of your yard.
When you get that working, because I'll probably want to do something like that for my swimming pool. You know, I bought one of those little robots to clean the bottom of the pool, and, you know, it's not very intelligent. It just kind of goes off in random directions. It might be cool to have some kind of VLF underwater TDOA system for that, because you know, that way it could just actually, you know, do the back and forth and just clean it properly.
And but once you get TDOA working out, there's just no end to the possibilities. If you can think of it, you can do it. Because I mean, that system that I got from south of Ukraine is accurate. I mean, if you have the reference clock that it asks for, 20 megahertz reference clock, which I don't, I've got something. It comes with 8 on board, and I've got a 16, I think. But if you can get up to 20, then it's accurate down to the picosecond, which gets you within not a foot or two, but gets you down to inches.
Yeah, I can't, it's just hard to imagine, you know, timing something to the picosecond scale. It's just, a picosecond is so incredibly small that it's hard to even wrap your head around how small that is, but, you know, it's just a trillionth of a second.
So before DJW, there was a lot of APRS activity there while I was at that red light. I guess it was catching up. I don't know. But I had to wait to key it up. But, yeah, it is very small, and that might be only that accurate when it's in a laboratory. Right? When you get out in the real world, you probably lose a lot of that really fast. W4DJW.
AKT, yeah, no doubt. Just, you know, everything is advertised, you know, as if it were in a lab, but then, you know, when you actually, you know, buy it and stick it out there, it's not nearly as good. But, you know, if you can still get to within a few inches or maybe even a couple of feet, you know, that's still a lot better than you can do with just about anything else.
Hey, on YouTube, I've been following him for years. His YouTube page is RC Test Flight. And he was a kid when he was flying airplanes out of his bedroom window. And I thought it was pretty cool what he was doing. Now he's into all kind of other things. Now he does RC for a living, and a pretty good living it is. And he's full grown now. But he still carries out his RC experiments. And some of his... He was cutting grass with an RC... with a radio-controlled... handheld transmitter, one that you hold in your hand, and used X-Acto blades to cut the grass, and it worked really, really good. Little tiny X-Acto blades. Had like four wheels that had two blades on each one that kind of pivoted back and forth, and he cut a bunch of his grass with that thing.
Then you've got the little bit, it's an elegant approach, but not nearly as technical. Have you seen the guys that just tether their lawnmower to a stake in the middle of the yard with a barrel around it, and they just they let the mower spiral in on itself to cut the grass?
Kind of thing with a stake in the ground in the middle, and it goes round and round and round. I guess as it gets closer in, the wad of rope around the stake gets larger in diameter, so it pulls it closer with every pass. But it's effective. It gets it done. I don't know how efficient it is, but it's effective.
Well, you know, sometimes a non-technical solution can still be elegant, but I have a technical solution or two I need to implement. You know, I've been in my house for over a month now, and I still don't have any antennas up.
Sure. Fly the antenna wire over the tree. You got trees?
I used to have overhead power lines, like, going right down the middle of my lot to get to the back of my house where the power comes in. So I can't use the front half of my lot at all, really, without risking, having unwanted contact with the power line. So I don't really have any trees in the back, because that's where the swimming pool is. And that's, they took all the trees out to avoid having, leaves in the pool all the time. So, and also, people also want sun in the pool, so. It's going to be tough. I think I might just do a vertical and sell all my dipole kit at the next Ham Fest or something.
Get some really tall telephone poles.
Pole in the backyard, but that's where the power line comes in. It drapes in over top of the house into the backyard where that telephone pole is, and then it comes down to the house from there. So it's kind of wonky the way they have it set up. And I wish it wasn't that way, but unfortunately it is. So, I'll figure something out, but I think, like I said, I think a vertical, in the backyard somewhere would probably be the best bet. I only have, 4,500 of an acre, too, and that makes it a little bit more difficult to put up a big dipole.
I heard somebody on here talking about a vertical. I think it was Tom that put up a vertical. Well, it was an inverted L is what it was. I think he put one up recently, and it works pretty good, as long as you can get some height on it. Anyway, I'm about to pull in the driveway. It was good talking to you this morning. Go in there and feed the dog. She was hungry before I left, and it was kind of early, so I didn't feed her yet. But anyway, have a good ride. Rest the way in. Good talking to you this morning. I think those other guys took off over to White Oak. I think that's what they do when Patrick gets in the black hole. Anyway, take care. Good talking to you, Eric. W2JKT, W4DJW. I'll be clear.
Hi. Good talking to you, as always. This is W2JKT, 73.
Have a good one, Dave. KN4TSW and Eric, I just parked in the parking lot, so I'm going to have to leave you too. I don't know where Patrick went. So you guys have a good day, and I'll catch up with you later. KN4TSW.
W2JKT, 73.